If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of the Mind Pump, we have a lot of fun for the first 36 minutes. That's where we do our introductory part of this episode. We talk about current events. We talk about ourselves. We make fun of each other. We have a lot of fun. And then after 36 minutes, we answer fitness questions. That's where we talk about fitness, fat loss, muscle building, and improving your life. So here's what we talked about in the first 36 minutes of this episode. We talked about the heat here in San Jose, California.
The heat is on.
It's so freaking hot that Justin is burying his feet.
It's on the streets.
Looks like they need to more blood flow.
You like that, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going to intertangle our toes together. Then we talked about Halloween, how it's coming up, and how we did a lot of bad stuff on Halloween when we were teenagers. And the costumes and stuff that we like to wear. I talked about how I tricked my daughter into getting sleepy. I actually had her wear Felix Gray blue blocker glasses when the sun went down because she didn't want to go to bed.
Then you hypnotized her.
And she naturally got sleepy because they work. Now, Felix Gray is one of our sponsors. If you go to Felix Gray Glasses, that's F-E-L-I-X-G-R-A-Y, glasses.com/mindpump, they'll hook you up with free shipping and free returns. Then I talked about using the Organifi red juice as a alternative to stimulants for pre-workout. It has natural herbs in there that invigorate the body, but it also contains beetroot powder, which boosts nitric oxide. In fact, it's one of the only things in studies that show that'll boost nitric oxide besides pharmaceuticals. Organifi is the maker of organic plant-based supplements, and they're one of our sponsors. We got a discount for you. Go to Organifi.com/mindpump and use the code mindpump and get 20% off your purchase. Then we talked about my artificial sweetener debate with Lane Norton, which is on our Mind Pump page, the live IG story.
Oh, snap. It was a good one.
It was a great one. We talked about how Airbnb may be going public and how they may be a good buy based off of our uninformed opinions. We talked about how Mattel is releasing new dolls, but they're genderless. Adam's like, what's new? All the Barbies had no gender. They had no
penises or nothing.
Nothing at all. We talked about our event coming up with Mike Matthews. He's one of our favorite people. And then we got on the fitness portion of this episode. The first question, this person wants to know what we think about celebrity workouts. You know, they tend to get in incredible shape in a short period of time. What's going on? Is it steroids? Is it their workouts? Is it their diet? Like, what's happening?
No.
Next question, this person wants to know if carbohydrates are essential for muscle building. The next question, is it a bad idea to go heavier on an exercise when your form already isn't 100% with your current weight? And the final question, this person wants to know what all of our favorite parts are about being a father. We're all blessed to be fathers, so we talk about what our favorite parts are about that role. Also, this month, MAPS Starter is 50% off. Now, MAPS Starter is our weight training, resistance training program designed for beginners or those of you who haven't worked out in a long time. So if you want to get all the great benefits of resistance training, you want to build some muscle, you want to strengthen your body, speed up your metabolism, improve fat loss, and keep the fat off forever. Resistance training is great for all those things, but it can also be pretty complex. It's not as easy as getting on a treadmill and just running. There's a lot of exercises. How do you do them properly? How do you put them together in a workout? Programming is essential with resistance training.
We made it easy for you.
MAPS Starter is all planned out for you. It's got exercise demos and blueprints. It takes you from point A to point B, all planned out for you. Here's the best part. You don't even need to go to a gym to do MAPS Starter. All you need are a pair of dumbbells and a stability or physio ball. Those are the big bouncy balls that you sit on. That's all you need, and you can do the whole program. And again, it's 50% off. By the way, this program is also a good gift. So if you're advanced and you're thinking, I don't need a program like this because I've been working out for a while, get this program for your family, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, people who need to start working out but aren't doing it and they need some guidance. Again, this program's half off. Here's how you get the discount. Go to mapsstarter.com. That's MAPSSTARTER.com and use the code STARTER50, STARTER50 without a space for the discount. Today's supposed to be hot.
Yeah.
Very hot.
It's supposed to be really, really hot.
Yeah, it's so amazing that this is the last probably hot day of the year that we're going to have. I think we're going to hit 96, and my AC gets fixed tomorrow. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome how that's planned, working out.
Isn't it ironic?
Yeah, God works in mysterious ways.
Oh man, that's all I'm saying. We're gonna save a bunch of money, though. I tell you what, I run the AC like crazy. So Katrina's like, oh, our AC bill, our PG&E bill is like half.
All I know is that Justin's wearing flip flops. That's all I know.
That's right.
That's looks like your feet need circulation. Enjoy. Though. You increase the blood flow a little bit.
I should do this more often.
It looks like you dropped the really piano should. On them.
It's like I went to Antarctica and got all kinds of frostbite, came back.
Who dropped the piano on your feet, bro?
I actually cut my toenails just for you guys.
I did.
I did. With a chainsaw.
What do you use? That's just say, what do you use to cut your toenails?
Yeah. I figured I would bless everybody with this. Dude, because it was so hot yesterday. I'm not going to mess around anymore.
He's got bolt cutters.
I don't care. I'm literally like so close to 40 that I give zero fucks.
Bro, it's so true, right? Yeah. It's so true. You reach a point where you're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do.
Yeah, exactly. This is exactly what I wanted to do, so I'm doing it.
It can increase your chances of getting laid, though, right?
I don't think my chances are great anyway.
You see, that's part of the formula.
Who cares?
Yeah. Right.
Are you at the walk around the locker room with just socks on phase yet? Or is that not there yet? It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming.
No, I'll yeah.
We should place bets now.
I don't even need to.
Who will do that first?
Oh, yeah. I already do that.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Oh, my God.
Walk around.
With socks?
Yeah. Because you don't want your feet to touch the floor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you get out of
the You take the time to put socks in, but not underwear.
Just socks.
No, I just flip flops. I just walk around my flip flops.
Just
flip-flops.
Don't blow dry your balls. I'm not going to go that
God
far.
God damn it. I just did that too.
You did not.
I did. Club Sports got but they're handheld dryers, so you can aim it. You know what I'm saying?
So you like this, you're blow drying your hair, and then when no one's looking, you're secretly doing your bush at the same time.
It's you know why there's a
no
feature?
Well, a terrible visual,
here's
Adam.
The deal. There's a feature on the blow dryer that lets it go cool. So cool air down there.
It's a nice
cool
thing.
Air down
it's
there.
Cool air down there. It's a good time.
You're a poet.
You ever go in the locker room and see the benches, and then you'd see the butt sweat mark, but then the middle you'd see the
yes.
You ever see that?
Yeah. That's just not a good visual.
No, that's where you draw. Good. That's
like an apple
draw.
Core.
Come on, guy.
It looks like an apple core, right?
We know how heavy your hangers are. At that point,
that's disgusting.
You just totally visualize that.
That's disgusting.
Hey, dude, Halloween's around the corner. What are you guys gonna do?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I like Halloween.
I was going to say, are you guys big Halloween people?
Yeah, because my wife's, her birthday is
she's a witch.
The end of the month. Yeah, she's totally. What? Dude, come on. What are you gonna, like, I'm really not getting laid now. Thank you, Adam. Yeah, no. My wife's a beautiful saint. So that's what she's going to be for Halloween. I have no idea. Like, we're always trying to do a theme. So my brother actually is going to be coming down with his kids and everything. And my mom is like the most crazy costume lady on the planet. Like, she makes costumes, and so it's so great because
you always have the best. You and your whole family always dress up so good.
She's done like the pretty elaborate ones with my kids. Like, they were R2-D2, and she like made all these like buttons and lights and things on them. And it looked
awesome.
Like super authentic, and like she would have been totally the cosplay. You know, that just wasn't around in her time.
Halloween is a weird holiday because it goes from awesome when you're real young to stupid when you get a little older, to awesome when you're older because then you get to go and girls dress all crazy or whatever, to boring as hell. Then you have kids and it's awesome again.
Yeah.
When you have kids, Halloween's so fun.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it's so fun with
kids. I can see that. I liked it though as a young, so that used to be, or at least when I was going to school, it would going down to Santa Barbara and Isla Vista, so Ivy down there, for Halloween is like, it's super popular.
Now, how old were you when you're doing this?
So I'm out of high school, between 18 and 21.
Well, it's fun at that time because then.
I thought that's what age you were talking about.
No, it gets boring.
When
does
it suck?
So it's cool, and then when you're like 11,
maybe mid 20s,
and then 11 and 12, it kind of sucks again. Then you're 13 or 14, like, oh, we can go egg houses.
Yeah.
So then it's fun again.
And then we go to parties.
Yeah, and then you're like 16, 17, like, meh, and then it gets cool again, and then it gets
crappy. Justin remembers, I used to throw Halloween parties every year at my house.
Did you really?
Yeah. I loved that. To me, I think that's for the age group of like 18 to 25, it's a good excuse just to put costumes on and get drunk.
Yeah, see, it goes from that to then all of a sudden now we got to be all sexy, right? Like, everybody's like, you know, I'm a witch, but I'm like a whore witch.
Yeah, everyone's a slutty something. something.
Yeah, it's like everybody's like that barely happened, naked, you know, almost naked.
That happened in our generation. It wasn't like that 20 years ago.
You're right. We were the first ones.
Yeah.
Now it's crazy.
Yeah.
I've seen some costumes. I'm like, that's just an excuse.
It is. Yeah. It's turned into that. It's kind of crazy to watch.
Yeah, it's just an excuse, let's be honest. Did you guys do the egging in the houses and stuff?
Yeah.
What assholes.
I know. We used to do some bad stuff.
Now that we're adults, let's be honest now. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that we're adults, you have kids. Imagine if fucking bunch of teenagers throw eggs at your fucking window at your house.
Oh, I'm.
How will you react?
Oh, underwear. Underwear Anderson. It was a nickname for this guy that we used to egg his house all the time. And he'd run outside and chase us in his underwear. Last time we did it, he was chasing us with a shotgun.
Oh my god.
Yeah. No, so we used to call him Underwear Anderson because we'd egg his house like once every month or so we'd go by his
place. Oh my god, once a month.
Yeah, because we knew we'd get him so riled up, he'd hear the doo 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 hit the house, and then 5 minutes later, dude would be running out of the house.
Because I would legit kick some. I would beat up a kid. Nowadays.
And then now the kids would think that was all sport. You know, the more angry you are,
That's what was crazy was
unless he catches you.
Well, we went back to his place because he was the only one that would come out of his house and be pissed.
Yeah.
So it's no fun if you egg a house and you get no response.
See, we had a guy like that too, and he was like legit crazy, like from the war and everything. And so of course we did the poo bag thing for him. And
my god, that's the worst.
Yeah. You know what we used to do too?
He went crazy.
I had there was a small stint in high school when I was driving my mom's minivan around, and it was great for this.
The mystery machine?
Yeah, right. So we used to take the minivan, and we had
Zoinks!
You've seen a water balloon launcher before, right?
Yeah.
So you'd have three guys in the back. One of us would be driving, and then we would slide open the slider of the minivan. Two guys are holding, and then the other guy leans back, and we would drive by, like, hit houses, and...
Wow.
People would open the door and then just fucking whoo, balloons come flying in the front.
You guys are professionals.
what a bunch of assholes.
Hey, when you live out in the country like that, that's what you do.
That is what you do.
I didn't live in the country. I did the same shit. You did the poo one? Did you actually light a bag of
shit
on fire?
Yeah. I think this is before Billy Madison and all that. This was just, I don't know, we probably saw it on TV, but that gave us the idea.
That's been an old school prank.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's one of the best. I told, and it's funny because if you think, as an adult, if you think about it, like, what was I thinking? You could set the house on fire.
Wasn't it you, Justin, who just shared the one where the guy, they put a white 5 gallon bucket over shit?
I did.
Yes.
Oh, it was you?
No, I posted that.
Oh,
was talking
you
about.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And you pretends like they caught something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, like all like animating it and like making it shaking the bucket, and then the guy goes to grab it real quick and
it's just a pile of shit.
Yeah,
it's just a pile of.
I love that. I was dying, dude.
Dude, so I have a story about shit like this because I was a kid and I used to do stuff like that too. We would throw eggs and do all kinds of terrible, toilet paper houses and stuff.
Yeah.
But then I became an adult, and as an adult, and I was a young adult when I owned my house. So I was 22. But I'm still a homeowner, right? And some kid egged my house, and he timed it totally wrong. I was already walking out the door. So I was going out to my car. I'm walking out. As I'm reaching for the doorknob, I hear splat. I look at the window. So I'm already there. I open the door. He's on his bike. He's riding his bike. I run, push him off his bike.
Oh, you caught him.
Pushed him off his bike. So he's like a 13-year-old kid. So I shoved him from behind. He falls off his bike, and I took his bike, and I brought it and put it in my backyard, and I said, your parents can come back and get it. Never came back.
Are you serious?
He never came back.
Of course not.
So I stole a kid's bike, essentially.
Probably scared shitless.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. Speaking of tricks and stuff, so I tricked my daughter the other day. So my daughter
is proud about that.
Yeah, this is good. This was good for her own good.
All right, okay.
She's
a healthy trick.
Yeah, it's a healthy trick. It's a healthy trick. So my daughter can be
switcheroo.
A huge sometimes pain in the ass when it comes to going to bed. She, and you'll identify this with your own kid. Some kids just require more sleep. That's just it. Bottom line. Like my son, not so much. The kid
I was that kid.
Yeah, the kid doesn't need that much sleep, not as much sleep as most kids. He could stay up late. And if he does that here and there, he's okay. He's fine. He functions fine. My daughter, if she's not in bed by 8:30, 8:45, which is, she's almost 10. So that's That's like a full hour earlier than her friends. And she gets angry because she's like, my friends go to bed at 9:30. I'm like, listen, if you go to bed past 8:30.
If you knew what I knew.
When you wake up in the morning, I want to disown you. I don't like you anymore, because she wakes up and she's angry and she yells. And then I get angry and we fight and it's just terrible. So I'm like, you're going to bed at 8:30 every single night. So the other night we were having this whole conversation. She's like, well, I'm not tired, which is a lie, because she goes at 8:30. She's asleep. I'm not tired. Blah, 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 back and forth. I'm like, it's not good for you. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what. You go to bed tonight when you feel tired. And she's like, okay. So right around 6 p.m., 6:30 p.m., sun's coming down. And I had just gotten the Felix Gray blue blocker glasses for kids. Mm-hmm. So they sent me a cop. They sent us, you know, they all sent us the kids ones or whatever. Did you get some too, Justin?
I did. Yeah, I've been using them with my kids. Love it.
So I was giving her, but more often giving my son my Felix Grays before going on the computer. But she's not a huge electronics person. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, hit or miss. So I got these glasses and I'm like, honey, I got you these awesome glasses. If you wear these and watch TV, you'll absorb more information. Made up some bullshit.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's a white light.
Yeah. Because it blocks blue light. It's really good for you. Whatever. Try these out. And they're cute because they're pink or whatever.
Yeah.
So 6 p.m., I'm like, you got to put them on now, though, right when the sun goes down. She's like, okay. So she's wearing the blue, and I'm watching her.
Your eyes get heavy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. 8 p.m., she's like, she's watching TV because I let her watch TV. And she's like doing this thing with the...
You just scoop her up and take
with her
right
head
to
like
bed.
This.
Yeah.
And I walk
that
over.
Is a ninja move.
Yeah, and I kiss her on the cheek and she kind of wakes up. I'm like, are you tired? No. I'm like, okay. And next thing you know, she falls asleep. I carry her upstairs and put her to bed. It worked beautifully.
That is
That's
magical.
How you know those things work so good, though. When I put them on and I'm
they
like,
do.
Yeah. I all of a sudden I start yawning when I'm like on the computer. If I don't have them on, it'll wire me all night long.
The opposite is true, too. Yeah. I told you guys about that study, right? Where they took, they were trying to find out how they could boost athletes' performance for late night competitions. And this, the reason why they did this is because in the Olympics, oftentimes competitions would be done late at night because of when the games would be aired live. So they try and time it so that they get the most viewership or whatever.
Yeah.
But that reduces performance. And they found that athletes who were exposed to like blue light before competition performed better because it told the brain that they were awake. So the opposite is true too.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny. I was trying to, that study you brought up, I was actually talking to Kristen Graham about that too. Like, it was funny because I used to make fun of these. I made fun of everybody that wore blue blockers. And you know, if I knew this and I could have got better sleep and hacked that, you know, before competitions, and because she's a massive competitor, right? Mm-hmm. So she's like doing all these different competitions with strongman, you know, competitions with, I forget what.
Powerlifting, probably.
Yeah, but it was like a something league, like Super League.
That
it's kind of like CrossFit. So anyway, she's all over the country doing all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, you have to start using this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hadn't even like crossed her mind or had never even heard of it. So hopefully she does it and, you know, reports back.
That girl is strong.
Super strong.
As hell.
I'm so impressed with her.
When we filmed Map Strong with her and we had to film the sandbag tosses where you have to throw it over your shoulder.
Yeah.
She was picking, was it the 100 pounder?
That's the lightest we have. Yeah.
That's the lightest one.
And just throwing it like a baby.
And a 100 pound sandbag is, think of picking up a 100 pound dumbbell way harder because it's a sandbag. It's like awkward to pick up.
Yeah.
She just, she would throw it over her shoulder like it was a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And she's not a big girl.
No.
She's small. She's petite.
No.
Strong as shit.
Next level strong.
Strong as shit.
Hey, speaking of performance and stuff, I feel like someone ransacked all of our pre-workout stuff. Who's going through all
that? Oh, yeah. That was me.
Do I even need to ask?
Do you have to ask that? Come on, Adam.
Yeah, you knew it was me.
It's anything in powder form.
No, but what I've been doing is, so caffeine, I love caffeine pre-workout. Obviously, it works. That's why it's in every single, you know, stimulant-based pre-workout. But I don't. If you really want to maximize the effects of caffeine, you have to take time off in between. You just do the tolerance. Your tolerance buildup goes real high. And what ends up happening is if you don't take time off in between, that you build tolerance, and then you're just taking caffeine to be normal. But I like to take caffeine to be a little bit above normal. So what I work out every single day. So the way I get around it is my heavy workouts, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I take my 200 milligrams of caffeine. And it's either straight caffeine, coffee, or I'll find some random pre-workout that some company sold us that wants to work with us that we won't work with, and I'll take their pre-workout or whatever. But on the days in between, I still like to do the ritual of taking something, and I do want something that may work or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing the Organifi red juice. And the reason why I'm doing the red juice is one of the ingredients in there is beetroot powder. And beetroot powder And all pre-workouts promise to boost nitric oxide. I'm sure you guys have heard of it, right?
Right.
Nitric oxide. Nitric oxide prevents it improves what's called vasodilation, I should say, in the blood vessels. So it causes your blood vessels to open and relax, which increases blood flow, which theoretically should increase performance, give you a better pump and all that stuff. As far as a pump is concerned, I don't know.
It's like Viagra for your muscles.
You know what? Exactly. In fact, the way Viagra works is exactly like that. And Viagra blocks a compound in the body that degrades nitric oxide. So it increases circulating nitric oxide. And that's why Viagra gives you a better ability to have a boner, because it gives you vasodilation. Now, as far as a pump is concerned, you know, I haven't seen any studies that show that vasodilators give you a better pump. Anecdotally, I think there may be something to it. I don't know how effective it is in terms of performance. But in terms of performance, you know, like doing more reps and being stronger, in some cases, vasodilators do improve performance. Here's the problem. There aren't any reliable vasodilators. So citrulline, arginine, all the other shit that people take, it's not doing shit for you. Studies don't really show much of an effect at all. Beetroot powder, ironically, is the one thing that shows increases in nitric oxide. And it's also the one thing that...
It's from a natural source.
Yes. And it's the one thing that that shows improvements in performance with cyclists. There was a study in particular done with cyclists.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the red juice has, you know, beetroot powder. So that's what I've been doing on the days.
Now, have you
between.
Done enough of it for your body to get adapted to that? Like,
I go it every other day.
Okay.
So I go Monday, Wednesday, Friday... is the caffeine. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, I do beetroot powder or the Organifi red juice.
And do you find that's enough for both the caffeine and the beet juice to not allow yourself to really get adapted to where you have to keep scaling it?
Yes, because what I'll do sometimes is I'll do caffeine on a Tuesday or Thursday when I'm really kind of feeling down, but I'll take less. So I'll go 100 milligrams. I notice a difference. I'll notice that the next day, I'm not getting the same effect.
I always know when I'm getting too, when I'm pushing it too far, like you were touching on, like, you know, having to keep ramping up the caffeine. And I'm at that place right now where I'm having like 300-400 milligrams before noon, and 1-2 o'clock comes around and I'm like groggy.
Yeah.
And that's when I know, like, okay, like I'm like wanting another caffeine drink just to keep me going through the day. That's always my personal sign, like, okay, it's time for me to scale back. Yep. And either come off caffeine for a while. But what's great is the caffeine reminds me a lot of and I've talked about this before, is the, you know, my cannabis behavior.
Oh, I was just going to go there.
Yeah, it's almost exactly the same, like about the same amount of time. I just got to take a few days mm-hmm. off completely, either cold turkey or scale down for a week or two and then go back the other direction. And it's crazy how fast it comes right back.
Like, yeah, you're really good at that. I've noticed that with you. You'll decide you need to stop doing something, and then you just fucking do it, which is really cool. But the way I approach all, whatever you want to call them, in the category of drugs, whether it's, you know, caffeine is a drug, so is cannabis, obviously. The way I approach them is I look at them and I say, what's the value I want to get out of this, and how do I maximize the value? And for me, the value of caffeine is I like the fact that it takes me above normal. I like to be stimulated by it and feel like I can push myself a little harder. And the way I maximize that is by taking time off in between. With cannabis, if I'm going to take, especially THC, a higher THC strain, I like the euphoric, you know, ideas racing through my mind, creative effects that I get from cannabis. Doesn't happen if I do cannabis every day. If I do cannabis once a week, that's when I get that feeling. That's when I start to get that feeling. So yeah. It's like, what do I want? Do I just want to be stoned, or do I want to get the benefits? And so if I really want the benefits, then I do it like that.
That's interesting. That's what motivates you. What motivates me to do what I do is the master of your domain.
Yeah, I know, like, you're like that.
Yeah, it's like
you like the pain.
No, I don't want to have to feel like I need anything.
That's what got you to not go back on testosterone.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't ever want to feel like I have to do something or I need something. Like, that's
no dependency.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. like, I love all drugs. They're all awesome. They're all awesome for whatever reasons, for whatever occasion that you want them for, and I can appreciate that, but I never want to catch myself saying things like, oh yeah, I just love it so much, that's why, or it works so well for me. And I feel like that's the self-talk that people start to give themselves with anything, whether it be caffeine, marijuana, yeah. any sort of drug, you know, Adderall, anything, where it's just like, oh, I once you get,
I need it to be myself.
Right. When you start saying things like that, and I just never want to be like that. I never want to have to feel like I have to take something in order to be who I think I am. It's like, no, I'm who I am without any of that stuff. Those are all cool things that I can experiment with intermittently through my life.
Bro, that's 100%. How you were able to withstand a fucking year and a half of allowing your body to get its own testosterone levels back up.
Yeah, November. Because
I could see it. It was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
And if I was in your shoes, I don't know if I would have lasted that long. That's a tough situation.
November is 3 years.
I know.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't believe it's been that long already. I mean, it flew, huh?
I mean, it looks like it on our bodies.
Yeah.
So. We all did.
Yeah, we saw those old pictures. It was very, very revealing.
What a dick.
I'm sorry. I have to bring that back up.
It's true.
Fuck you guys.
Anyway, dude, I got a message this morning from, you guys know how I went to go speak at Chase Tuning's entrepreneur event in LA.
How'd that go?
It was good. I had a good time down there. And, you guys know how sometimes I get a little squirrely. And I'm down there, and I'm thinking, okay, he wants me to go up there and speak for, each speaker spends about 15 to 20 minutes, and then afterwards there's kind of a Q&A. And I know that there's a bunch of, entrepreneurs and quote-unquote influencers or people who want to be influencers in the audience. And I don't like the influencer tag. I don't like that whole space. I think it's filled with a lot of silly people. And so when I went up there, one of the things that I said, and this guy messaged me and he said it really impacted him. And I'm happy that he liked it because I thought I'd piss everybody off.
Yeah.
And I got up there and basically made fun of the
you made fun of influencers in a conference of influencers.
Yeah, I did.
You just Dave Chappelle'd the
love
audience.
Love it.
Well, I talked all about like authentic, raise your hand if you're really focused on trying to be more authentic with your social media and with your business, and everybody's raising their hand. I'm like, well, then you're not being authentic.
Yeah. That's the Dave Chappelle movie.
That's
right?
A drop.
Yeah, I know. It reminded me. I told the story of the when I first tried to learn how to meditate. I had a studio at one point that had group classes in it, and I had an instructor that taught meditation, and I took like four or five of his classes, and I fucking sat in the back, and I tried so hard to meditate, and I just couldn't do it. And I talked to him after class, after like the fourth one, and I'm like, listen, man, I said, I don't know, how long does it take to do this? Because I said, I'm sitting there, I'm really trying hard.
My eyes are squinting real hard.
And he's like, that's why you're not meditating, because you're trying. Yeah. Just stop trying so hard, and then it'll happen. I was like, oh, same thing with authenticity. If you're trying to be authentic, you're not being authentic.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you're 100%.
It's so hard, though, I think, for the in our space and in this time with the apps, like, I can't help but think of like these apps like Facetune that are, I mean, everybody has this. Yeah. And it's like this temptation for you if you have that tool, like, oh, my skin doesn't look really clear. Like, it's not real. It's still me, but I'm going to just clean it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, or my teeth aren't there. Those are my teeth, but they're not. They're a little bit. I want to make a little bit whiter. Like.
Well, here's my point with it. My point was this was, and this is an important point that, luckily, we started Mind Pump when we were older, because I don't know if we would have realized this if we were younger. What kind of success do you want, and how do you define success? Is having a lot of money, a lot of followers, and a lot of fame success? Now, I don't necessarily define that as success, because I know a lot of people who have a lot of money, have a lot of fame, have a lot of followers, who are addicted to drugs or unhappy, commit suicide. You see celebrities doing this all the time. So for me, and I know we've talked about this, my definition of success is if you are there, you're there and you're fulfilled and you're happy and you're at peace with yourself. And the only way to do that is if you got there by completely being yourself and being totally vulnerable. Now, it's not a guarantee that you're going to get all those things, but if you do get all those things and you did it by just honestly being yourself and being totally vulnerable, well, now your odds of being at peace with it and being happy are much higher. And that's why I talked about it. So I said, look, this isn't going to guarantee success, but even if you get successful being fake, you're not going to be successful because it's going to fucking suck.
Right.
It's not going to feel good.
It's not going to feel like success.
Speaking of talks, yesterday's Lane Norton debate was awesome.
Oh, for sure, a good conversation.
The best story we've done yet, I think. And I hope that we can create more conversations like that. I really I know we have an audience that, are half Lane fans, the other half can't stand him or whatever. But what I appreciate about him and why I was so excited about that conversation is you know, he's respectful when when having a debate like that. It doesn't turn into a name calling thing. He allows you to speak. You guys both did that really well, and I feel like at the end of the day, whether you agree more with him or you agree more with you, I think there was a lot for people to learn in that conversation. So I mean, that to me is just incredible value, and I wish more people could have discussions like that where they just both just totally disagree on a topic but can intelligently bring their points of view.
Well, the debate was about artificial sweeteners, and so I'm of course opposed to them, and he's not necessarily pro artificial sweeteners, but he's about, hey, use them, they're great tools, and they're not dangerous, so they're not bad. There's nothing that about them that's bad for you. So I disagreed. First off, I want to give him kudos because Lane knows that I'm opposed to his opinion, and he comes on our channel and has this discussion with me. And right. that's balls right there. And it's also integrity. The guy's got a lot of integrity. So whether you disagree with him, he has integrity, which is why we appreciate him 100%. And I disagree with him on a few different things, but I like the fact that he's that kind of a person. I think he's a good person, you know, in our space. But the thing about discussions like that is this: you have to, and this is just through studying politics and watching people debate. And I love debating. I love discussing things. If your goal is to hammer and humiliate the other person, then fine, go up there and try doing that. If your goal is to change minds, then that's not going to work. And my goal was, I want to get on here and I want to hopefully take some people who are pro artificial sweeteners or people who use them very regularly, and I want to change their mind. But they're going to come over and they're going to be kind of, their mind is almost already set, and they may already be Lane Norton fans. And if I go on there and act like an asshole and yell at him and argue and try to get him with zingers and whatever, all I'm going to do is make them hold their position stronger and hate the other opinion even more. So the goal is, okay, I got to go out, make my points, allow each other to have a discussion so that everybody can be heard. But then the goal is, like, I'm trying to win people over who disagree with me, and you don't do that with a, you know, you don't do that by beating people over the head with a stick.
Imagine if politicians, you know, took a page out of that. Climate we'd have.
Yeah, and I want to be, if you disagree with me, I want you to disagree with me because of my ideas, not because I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Because then I lost, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. Anyway, kudos to Lane. He's a
for no, it was
that.
Fun to watch, and all the comments and everything were hilarious.
You guys were fucking with us.
We had to. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. I was anticipating a lot of, like, diehard laners out there, you know, like, ready to just throw fire. And so we were just on top of it right away.
It was good.
Yeah, we had to.
Next time I told Justin, I said, next time we're going to fire more at you. I said, we were picking on Lane a little bit.
Yeah,
Lane's so fun to pick on.
We'll throw jabs at Sal next. Yeah. I know it was a little one-sided, but hey.
Yeah. Next time we'll get
Team Sal.
The one that almost killed me was Adam goes, the studies show that artificial sweeteners make you hurt your back. And I was like, oh my god, oh no,
that one got him too. He had to address that. You know, he's like, hey, listen, I gotta talk about this.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
Did you guys see Airbnb is gonna hit the market in 2020? Meaning, they're gonna go public.
Oh,
dude.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Whew.
I'm excited.
That's a
for
big
that.
One.
And I tell you what, the only thing in their way is, you know,
laws.
Yes, is trying to lobby against, and it's already happening. There's already, you know, cities and anywhere there's a major hotel, casino, they're doing everything they can to hang on.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's taking the country by storm and has been for a long time.
I'm excited, and I don't know what their financials look. Do you know what their financials look like?
As far as how profitable
they
are? Oh God, I don't know what that is. Ducker probably looked that up.
It'll be interesting to ask Julio when we have him on the show coming up, you know, what he thinks about their profitability and all that stuff.
Up.
Yeah, because I like them. I like all these disruptive technologies. What I like about them a lot is that they and this is great about technology, it advances faster than legislators can legislate. Mm-hmm. So by the time lawmakers, you know, are lobbied and try to get together, it's too late. Consumers love it already. Like, for example, Uber would have never existed if it wasn't for technology. No way they would have legislated it away before it ever gained any popularity.
Right.
But it got too popular too fast, and then they're like, fuck, now people like it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Airbnb. How are you going to stop it when so many people
love it?
That's the only way anything gets done anymore now. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's like you have to just, like, you know, ask for forgiveness later. Mm-hmm. Like, just build it, do it.
Disrupt.
Go.
Yeah, yeah.
I love companies that are disrupting, dude. I think it's for. And now, is it soon enough? Or, I mean, are we confirmed with Julio coming in? So can we talk about that? Like what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, I mean, we are confirmed.
Are we scheduled?
I believe it's booked.
Is it booked, Doug?
I believe it's booked.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. So we can kind of discuss what we're going to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're just going to talk about investments, and you know, Mind Pump is we're looking to also dabble in investments. We want to build a legacy, and we thought it would be a good thing to share.
Yeah, take you guys along for the ride and be, you know, transparent as far as what we're planning.
And the idea is that I think we're going to be completely transparent with the audience too. Even like, so we're going to, the goal is what, $5,000 a month we're going to invest.
Yep.
And then we'll talk to him.
Aside from bigger purchases like property.
Right. But as far as in the market, we're going to invest $5,000 a month, and we'll talk to him on air live so people can kind of hear how we make
about our picks.
Yeah. Now, and he's the expert. That's why we're having him on, because the three of us are fitness experts, and we are very aware that we are not investment experts at all, even though we like it and we think it's cool.
Yeah.
So he'll be on there to kind of help us out. But what does it say up there, Doug?
$3.5 billion cash on balance. Wow.
Oh, they're profitable.
Ooh.
Well, that sounds like a company
too. That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, that sounds like, that's as of 2000. They had a 40% revenue growth rate in 2018 compared to the previous year. Oh, well, that looks good.
Yeah.
That might be something interesting to invest in. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. Speaking of companies, Mattel, the toy maker, they're releasing a whole line of gender neutral dolls.
What? Aren't they already gender neutral?
Yeah, they don't have any genitalia.
They don't have any parts.
Yeah. That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
They've never had parts.
Since when?
Does that mean they're also going to add parts to the other ones?
I don't know.
That's not fair.
Yeah,
I feel like that's sexist.
Yeah, that's true. And how do they handle that? Like what? Like short hair, makeup, you know? Yeah. What does that look like?
It's going to be like they're going to dress like, you know, like a boy in a dress, or, you know, kind of so you can't tell. So you're going to have the doll and you kind of can't tell if it's a boy or a girl.
Wow. How they're doing. I don't know how I feel about this.
You know what? It's funny.
Remember that show, It's Pat?
Oh, my God. That would never fly today.
Can you imagine if they tried to bring that?
On Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. I don't remember that.
I think everybody forgot about that because of like what you can and can't say now.
Pat was a character on SNL it was like a work environment, and they couldn't – everybody tried to guess if it was a man or woman.
Yeah.
And so they would ask questions like, hey, it's so
– androgyny.
Yeah. What are you doing tomorrow?
It's Pat.
And, you know, you went to the doctor? Like, what did your – you know, and they're trying to figure it out. And then the answers were always super
– vague.
Ambiguous. Yeah. Like you had no idea.
They went on a date, and like you just didn't know. Like
That's
still
Pat.
Couldn't tell.
That's Pat right there.
Yeah,
that would never fly today.
Yeah,
and all the employees, their whole goal is to try to figure out if it was a boy.
So I'm imagining now like dolls that look like Pat.
Yeah,
I guess.
No.
Yeah,
you know what though? It's funny. You have a whole bunch of people who are pissed, and then you have a whole bunch of people who are like, "Yes, this is awesome." And I'm like
in the middle.
Yeah, and I'm like,
yeah, I'm in the middle. Yeah,
buy whatever you want.
Yeah, there you go.
Fine.
Oh, you like it? Buy it.
Cool.
You know,
buy it. Tell them that they did a good job. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the people are like, oh, there's this agenda through Mattel. Yeah, I know what a Mattel's agenda is to make money.
Yeah.
That's the agenda at the end of the day.
And honestly, the line will die if nobody buys it.
100%. And you know what will happen if it dies?
Yeah.
Then they'll say it's an agenda the opposite direction. They took it down because it was. No, that's the only agenda that they have. Let's see how much they have.
Hey, I'm excited, dude. We got Mikey coming into town. He gets here tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the dinner with our guests or whatever. So him and some guests. And then,
I'm looking forward to this. This is gonna be a good time.
And then after that, we do our live event with Mike Matthews. I love that guy.
I do too.
Yeah, he's got to be one of the, for good or bad, most honest people I've ever met.
You do have to kind of throw a caveat in there.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a dark sense of humor, I guess. That's why.
He's twisted a little bit, just like us.
It's worse than mine. Like, we'll joke around back and forth, and I'll be like, bro, that's
too far.
That's terrible.
It's too far.
We know what to talk.
I feel guilty about laughing sometimes.
We'll wrangle him in for the live event.
You know what, though? Mike is such a just hyper-intelligent, insanely intelligent
guy. Bro, he's a champion, dude.
One of my favorites was when we were in Tahoe and then everybody was around the fire and we had those really intelligent conversations and just being able to sit and listen in, you know, and like your Jordan Chalos, Mike Matthews, Russios, everybody like chiming in on these really deep conversations. Like Mike went off.
My favorite type of person is somebody who's extremely unassuming, who doesn't like, because one of the things, and I think you guys can, this is one of the things I've actually, I've always loved about Sal too, is like this is extremely well-read, extremely intelligent, but doesn't find the need to have to flex on everybody to show everybody that. But go deep enough with them, they'll go as deep as you want to go with them. Mike is like that. Yeah, Mike is not somebody who is going to act like he's not going to talk above you.
He's not super flashy.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Super unassuming, but then the dude is very, very well-read, very, very intelligent, and really fun to discuss just about anything
and
with.
Honest, like if you're a business person and you meet him and you ask him business questions, you can ask him money, cost, profit, he's open. He'll
that's just, why the six people that, this is why we did
that's
that.
That's how you know he's confident.
Well, this is why we did this for this. We've never done this before, an event where we actually decided to do this private dinner that we sold these high-end tickets where we would give this one-on-one attention with these just six people and with Mike, right? So it's the four of us and Mike at a dinner with just six people. I mean, and we didn't really sell it up. We knew it eventually, we knew it would sell out no matter what, and it was the first thing to sell out. But man, the people that get to be involved in that, I can't tell you how valuable that will be, because I know how much value I've got personally just from having dinner and hanging out with Mike talking business. So I'm excited to do that. That's going to be
he'll talk about all the behind the curtain stuff like very openly. He's very open.
And so will we, you know. Yeah, so totally. I look forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the guy. He's a good guy, and you know, that's the thing about Mike is, you know what you're going to get with the guy. And I don't agree with him on everything either. We've had our own debates and discussions. But at the end of the day, it's like, I know exactly
who you are.
Honestly,
though, don't you think that those are my favorite friends? Dude?
Always.
Yeah. I don't want a friend who just agrees with everything that I, you know.
Like, I don't have any friends like that. Yeah. All my friends are
challenge you somewhere.
Yes, but you know what they are. You know who they are. They're real. Yeah. That's all I want is a real friend.
Yeah. By MAPS Anabolic. If you're looking to maximize your overall muscle and strength, MAPS Anabolic is the perfect place to start. With a full 30-day money-back guarantee, there is absolutely zero risk. So what are you waiting for? Go to mindpromedia.com and get started today.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-quaw. All right, our first question is from Christian Jude H. What are your thoughts about celebrity workouts like the ones claimed to get actors in superhero films ready in 3 months? Is it even possible to go from average physique to that of Captain America or Star-Lord that quickly? Are steroids always involved?
Yeah. You know what's funny about this?
We talked about this a long time ago, right?
We did. And you know, here's the thing that you got to understand. There's two things. Are steroids involved? Probably. But here's
at least 90% of the time. Come on.
Well, maybe. But you know what? Here's the other part of it. These are actors who are getting paid millions of dollars. So imagine this. Imagine.
And there's not.
It's like stupid for them not to.
Right. And there's not.
They don't do anything else.
There's not NBA, NFL laws that say they can't. Yeah. Like, right.
They don't drug test you before you step on set. Yeah,
it's like Wolverine. Yeah. You got to get drug tested over here real quick.
How many actors would be left if they did all drug testing?
Yeah.
There'd be none left.
Yeah.
No, I mean, also think about it this way. Imagine if you're an actor and, Paramount comes to you and says, hey, we want you to play a superhero. We're going to start filming in 90 days. Mm-hmm. We're going to pay you $5 million for the role. We're going to provide you with everything you need to prepare for this role. Okay, cool. I'd like a personal trainer to train me every single day. I need a private chef. I need someone to help me with meditation. I need someone to of course, you know what you could do in 90 days if everything was done for you and that was all you did all day long? You had nothing else to do?
Yeah, just hyper-focused. Just doing that, it's going to be, you're going to get like a crazy-looking physique.
No, I think the question is, though, we don't know the answer to this. We could speculate and have some fun with this, but, I remember I did a post on, what's the kid? The Baywatch kid? What's his name?
Oh, Zac Efron.
Yes.
That's a good-looking kid.
Doug really wanted it on that one. Zac Efron. Oh, my God, that guy.
Doug, wipe your chin, bro.
That was very thirsty.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding, Doug.
Anyway, what were you saying?
He's handsome. He's a very handsome kid.
Yeah, I had to back him up.
I know. Jesus Christ.
I agree.
You and Doug were all over that one. Jesus. Fucking A.
Yeah, it's hot.
So I did a post on his Baywatch because they had the Baywatch workout. And I remember that he was on the cover of the magazine. And I remember we opened the workout, and it was a dog shit workout. It was just a dog shit workout.
I think we discussed that on the show.
I think what ends up happening a lot of times is I don't think the celebrity has anything to do with it.
And I don't even think that's the workout, to be honest with you.
No, that's what I've said. This is us speculating. We don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he ran a stack of steroids. Maybe he followed that to a T, and he had a chef and all those things. Because here's the thing. That's the beauty of steroids. Is it does leave a lot of room for error, and you're going to still get some killer results. I mean, if you're on anabolic steroids and you're eating well, you can do some pretty shitty programming and still see.
At the very least, you could burn a bunch of body fat and keep your muscle.
Yeah. You know? So I think that happens a lot and more often than not. And celebrities, just because they have all the money and the access, doesn't mean they necessarily get the best trainers either. Mm-hmm. So
and now consider this too. Oftentimes, when you look at these celebrities, when they get ready for a role, they're not building a ton of muscle. They're just getting lean. And if you get really lean and you're on camera, you look dramatic.
That's such a good point. I did that post of like you and I, that picture, that throwback of circa 2015. Mm. And everyone's like, dude, what happened? You were so jacked. Like, you were so big, so jacked. I'm like, well, actually, I was about 15 pounds lighter than what I am right now.
Yep.
You just look like you're jacked because you're so lean in the separation, but you're... I'm not bigger at all. Like, no. I'm bigger right now.
There's also movie tricks. I mean, like, have you guys seen, like, the 300, how they shot that whole film?
Yeah.
I mean, they paint all this stuff, and they animate, like, the abs so they look like they're contracting, and then they put all the shadowing behind it. And so, anyways, you got to put it all in perspective. Yeah. You know, it is impressive when you're sitting there and watching a movie, like, oh, my God, like, how did you get this crazy-looking physique?
But the reality is this. The reality is, if you had 3 months to do nothing else... but get in shape, and on top of it, you have access to some of the best trainers that you're going to spend a lot of money on, and a chef who's literally going to figure out all your food for you, all your macros. They're going to feed you everything. So all you're doing is you're staying at home, waking up in the morning, eating whatever the chef made.
And training. Eat, sleep, train, repeat.
That's it. For 3 months, do you know how crazy of results most people could
look
get?
Awesome.
If that's all you did for 3 months?
The problem with that is the same problem that I have with like Biggest Loser.
I mean, totally.
It's not sustainable.
You know, it's not. No. I mean, what, 80%, I think is the number. I think 82% or 78%, somewhere in that range, is what go back, that put all the weight back on and some. So, you know, a lot of these, and that's why, too, you see that thing come out, like a Zac Efron thing, and then like 6 months later on National Enquirer, they get a picture of him like with a fucking...
his belly.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So it's normal.
Yeah. So even if it is what they follow, like, even though I doubt it, and even if they were natural, which I doubt also, too, it still doesn't matter because to Sal's point, you're right. It's like, it's unrealistic for the average person to even try and consider following a plan like that. Even if you had 3 months off of work and all you wanted to do was focus on work, it's not the smartest strategy.
You're not going to be able to maintain it. No. I remember when Sylvester Stallone, I read an article about how he got ready for
the Rocky IV.
For Rocky III.
Oh, was it III?
Yeah. So Rocky IV, he fights the Russian. He was jacked in that one. But if you watch Rocky I and Rocky II, he was kind of this thick, beefy looking kind of Guido kind of guy, right? He's not shredded. You can tell he kind of lifts, but he looks like a regular guy that kind of, you know, lifts weights or whatever. And that was all on him. That was his own training, his own diet, whatever. Rocky III is the one where he goes, and it's the one where Mickey dies, his coach dies, and he goes to Apollo Creed's gym, and I think it was in Compton, and has Apollo Creed train him, and because he wants to get fast and loose so he could fight Clubber Lane, who was played by Mr. T. And what Sylvester Stallone wanted to do for that role is he wanted to look smaller and shredded because he's playing the role of now – because if you remember those Rockies, he was kind of this slugger in the first two where he could just take a punch and deliver a punch. In part three, he wanted to come across as someone who could dance, move, bob, and weave because now he's, of course, training with Apollo Creed. So he wanted to be shredded and look just really, really muscular and fast. And so he hired Franco Colombo. So Franco Colombo trained Sylvester Stallone and did his diet for Rocky III. So if you watch Rocky III, and in fact, I think Rocky III is the movie that made Doug want to lift weights, right? I think you told me that before. I was nodding his head.
I feel like read up on as much Rocky information as I do Star Wars. I'm sitting here, I'm just like, ooh.
A Rocky history lesson
right now.
I'm going to start giving you shit the way you guys gave me shit about the book Irresistible. However many times you use Rocky as a fucking analogy to answer a fucking fitness question.
Hey, it works.
Well, in Rocky II, actually.
You want to know what's funny about that? So this is cool, though. Franco Colombo took him through a double split routine, so old school routine. Obviously, put him on anabolics. I read somewhere else that he, you know, helped him with his steroids. Sylvester Stallone was starting to get cocky in his workouts, and he wanted to work out with Franco Colombo. So Franco wrote about this, and Franco's like, he wanted to train with me. And I say no, but then he said yes. So we say, okay. So fucking Sylvester tore his pec because he's trying to keep up with Franco. And that's why, if you ever notice in the Rambo films and Rocky IV, when Sylvester Stallone's staying there shredded, you ever notice one of his pecs looks a little different?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's because he tore his pec with Franco
Colombo. I didn't notice that. I'm glad you looked that close into
frame by frame over here.
But I'll tell you what impresses me the most about celebrities. It's not the ones that get in shape. That's fucking easy compared to the ones that have to make themselves either get really fat
Really super anorexic and skinny.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Christian Bale.
Yeah. Scary. Yeah,
notorious for that.
The Pianist, I think, was the movie he played where he looked like he was dying.
Yeah.
No, the one where he's the serial killer is the one where he
Machinist.
The Machinist. The Machinist, yes.
Totally different movie.
Right? Yeah, he got crazy.
And then you saw how buffed he was for Batman in comparison. It's really crazy.
He takes his body through extremes.
You saw What's-His-Face just did for Loudest Voices, right? That's he went crazy overweight to play the guy, the Fox News guy.
Some of that was a fat suit.
Russell Crowe.
Yes, Russell Crowe.
But I'm sure he did pack on a bunch.
Well, when
he put on a ton of weight for that.
Yeah, what's it? So Robert De Niro, when he got ready for Raging Bull, he talked about his diet, and it was basically pure garbage 24 hours a day and gained a shit ton of body fat for the role. That shit impresses me because getting in shape for a role, okay, good for you. You got healthier. Making your health go to shit for a role. Look at that. Look at that picture of Christian
Bale.
And
it's a hit on your ego, right? Like to get all, big and unattractive.
Look at that picture of Christian Bale for The Machinist.
Wow.
He basically starred himself.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Just, you could see his ribs just standing there.
But at the end of the day, the last people you should ever follow advice for fitness are celebrities. Unless they're fitness experts, and I mean good fitness experts, then no, don't take their advice. They have zero idea what they're talking about when it comes to fitness.
Yeah.
Next question is from Quests for Josh. Are carbs essential for muscle building or are they only necessary for energy to fuel the workout?
Mm. They're not necessary for anything.
Yeah. No. Hey, great point. They're not essential.
Non-essentials.
They're not. Now, studies will show that you can build muscle and strength without carbohydrates. Okay. That being said, studies also show that if you have carbs, you build more muscle and more strength.
It's a lot easier.
It's not necessary, but boy, is it different.
It helps.
I've gone, because I have had digestive issues in the past, I've gone keto for long periods of time. And, I can still have decent workouts and all that stuff, but it's so much harder to build muscle.
Well, remember when we went through the whole keto thing and we documented or discussed our process, that was one of the greatest challenges that I had because I was in the middle of still competing and training hard and I was trying to still build, and it was just, I couldn't get it. I couldn't get the calories in. I mean, one of the things that's awesome about carbs, especially for someone who's trying to build muscle and increase their calories, is it kind of stimulates the appetite. Mm-hmm. You do a really high fat or a higher protein type of diet, and it just totally satiates you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you're somebody who's trying to put muscle on and you don't use carbohydrates, yeah, it's possible, and it works for some people for sure. But I definitely think it's a lot easier to do when you use carbohydrates.
Now, Justin, you did you went extreme and did carnivore for a while. Yeah. You were experimenting, which means you just ate meat and then you had carbs after. What did you notice workout wise?
It was detrimental, really. I mean, in terms of like my energy levels in the workout, like I was. To be honest, like I would go into to work out and I would be like less motivated and some of my power lifts and like when I get in and do deadlifts and these compound lifts, that's where I felt it. I noticed it the most that I really did thrive off of like, at least having a higher carb intake for that day. If I went into my workouts like that I needed more intensity to pull from, it was a struggle. It was a massive struggle. And I would get, lethargic, right after that. I felt like I had to go take a nap, like after I was done lifting. So
how big of a difference in strength would you say? Like you notice drops in strength doing it that way?
Yeah, I would say maybe like 10, 15 pound drops on the major lifts. And to be completely fair, though, like I know that my calorie intake dramatically dropped. Mm. So I'm sure that was a major factor too. If I was to, you know, be a big carnivore advocate, I would have definitely boosted up my, you know, calorie intake overall to help with that. But it's, again, everybody's different. Everybody varies. Some people maybe be able to thrive by just eating meat and just being keto or just, you know, eating vegan. But, you know, for me, like I need that carb intake. It really does help fuel my workouts.
I know it's a huge difference. I remember when we get asked this question a lot too about fasted workouts. Mm-hmm. And I know, Sal, you like fasted workouts. You mm-hmm. tend to do fasted workouts most of the time. And I can do them, and I occasionally do a fasted workout, but they're never my best workouts.
Not for building.
Yeah, my best workouts are always, you know, after I've had at least two meals that day that are pretty carb heavy, where I'm getting a good 50 to 100 grams of carbs in there, and I'm going into the workout with a solid 150 to 200 plus grams of carbohydrates. And that's for obviously my size, my body. That'd be different for everybody. But that's kind of what I figured out for myself. Like, that I perform the best at inside the gym. And so I think that's something that you have to take in consideration.
I notice it for myself. Anecdotally, when I train clients, if I was having someone go through a period of trying to build as much muscle as possible, carbs helped. They just help, plain and simple. And the studies support this. The studies are pretty conclusive on this. If you eat carbohydrates, you perform better, you're stronger. And as far as muscle building is concerned, you're probably going to build more muscle. Now, that being said, I want to make a statement that is also very true. The diet that makes you healthiest is the one that's going to work best for you for building muscle.
Right, right. There you go.
So if you're somebody that gets terrible digestive issues or bloat or lethargic or autoimmune type issues when you eat lots of carbohydrates, which some people do. Some people get those issues.
Yeah, use someone like a Christina Rice for an example. Someone like her is going to perform much better on a lower carbohydrate diet than they on a high carb diet.
That's it. And, and when I was dealing with digestive issues, I performed better on keto than I did on carbs, because carbs at that moment didn't make me feel very good. So the reason why I'm making that point is, and I used to get trapped in this when I was a kid. You would read a study that said supplement X shows that it works, or diet X is supposed to be better, or workout X is supposed to be better. And then I would do it, and I wouldn't respond well to it, but I would stick to it hard-headedly because, they say it fucking, it's better.
Because I read that.
Yeah, the studies say, you know, this is when I would take a weight gainer, it would give me diarrhea, but I'd be like, it's supposed to work, so I'm just going to keep taking it. I would completely ignore the fact that I'm probably going to lose weight.
The problem will just go away.
Right, so you have to listen to your body. I get messages like this till this day where people will, hey, I'm doing this workout, it's supposed to be super effective, but my strength went down, but I'm sticking to it, it's month four. I'm like, why? Why are you doing? Obviously, it's not working for you. Listen to your body. Right. Like, creatine is a great example. Creatine in studies conclusively helps you build more muscle, improves recovery, and just improves performance. Conclusive. It's one of the most studied ergogenic supplements out there.
But if it gives you diarrhea.
Yeah, but if it gives you gastro upset, don't fucking take it, because it's not only is it not going to do that for you, it's going to do the opposite. So the diet that makes you healthiest is the one that you want to stick to.
Next question is from Carly Crawford. Is it a bad idea to increase your weight on exercises when your form isn't 100% with your current weight? My squats have been plateaued forever because I feel like I can't get low enough at my current weight. But I know I won't improve or get any stronger if I don't progressively overload. Yeah.
This is how I've hurt myself every time. Yeah. This is pretty much it right there. It's like, I feel like I can add more weight even though my form isn't perfect with the weight that I am currently lifting. And then I end up, not every time, of course, but the few times I have hurt myself.
Maybe one of the most common mistakes made in the gym.
Totally.
Yeah. Right? Totally. And probably the reason why probably close to 90% of the people get hurt.
Yeah. You're toeing the line.
Your ego says, I can do more. And technically, you probably can do more, but your form and mechanics are off, and the higher the load goes, the greater the risk is.
Right. And there's a lot of different ways to progressively overload the body to get it to respond.
Yeah, you don't have to just do weight.
Right. One way is to improve your range of motion. Right. So you're talking about not being able to go low enough with your squat. Keep challenging the depth. It keeps getting harder. Even though the weight is the same, you're still squatting whatever weight you've been squatting, but now you're squatting an inch lower and it's harder. Guess what you've done? You've increased the intensity of the exercise, so it's still progressive overload.
Oh, you could also increase sets or reps. That adds volume, and that would be overloading too. It doesn't always have to be weight. I think and I feel like this is something in the last decade. This PR generation.
Like, yeah.
that now that we're all so concerned about it. That's
muddy the water.
We do talk a lot of stuff that I think the positive things that CrossFit brought to the fitness community. This is one of the negative things that I think that has been perpetuated because of CrossFit, because they're driven. It's a sport that
it's got a competitive backbone too.
Right. And so it's all about reaching these PRs. And honestly, I trained most of my career never even chasing a PR. I progressively overloaded in many other ways and just always adding more load. And there's other markers that indicate you're making great progression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even slowing down the tempo and pause squatting and really like hyper connecting to your body again, through every, inch of that lift is going to do so much more for you than just thinking now I need to like keep adding weight.
Dude, it's such an ego fuck when it comes to weight. And this obviously is more common in men than it is in women. But for me, I'll give you an example. For me, there was a long time, I would say the majority of the time I've been working out, where if I would not go, I would not squat less than 3 plates. Like, I'm not going to go lower than 3 plates. I don't give a fuck how low my reps are or how my form looks. Not going to go lower than 3 plates. I'm not going to bench press less than 2 plates on each side. Just not going to go lower than 2 plates. I'm not going to deadlift less than 4 plates. For whatever reason, in my mind, it's like, I'm not going to do that lower than that weight. And that's resulted in mobility issues. It's resulted in lack of progress, because as I've gotten older, I've kind of been like, wait a minute, why is my ego, like, I wouldn't train someone like that. Why am I doing that to myself? Now I like back way off. I go by feel, and guess what? My body's responding better. The irony, right? Mm-hmm. So the weight is arbitrary. That's something that I think, unless you're competing and how much weight you're lifting matters because of the competition, most people listening right now don't compete. Most of you guys are not going, nobody's watching your bench press or your squat and marking you down whether or not you won a competition or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's totally arbitrary. It's literally just, I wish they made weights that were like, honest to God, I wish they made these plates that were the size of a 5-pound plate that you could somehow adjust gravity on them, so nobody knew how much you were lifting. Yeah, yeah. That would fix the ego.
Well, that's why I love those kettlebells, the competition ones, because they all look the same. You know, and it's like, I agree. I wish that we had that, available to us. It would totally change the landscape.
Yeah, because nobody cares. No. You know what I mean? You're the only one that cares.
Yeah, so. You're the only one that cares.
Yeah.
Next question is from Lynn's MP. What's everyone's favorite part of being a dad?
Yeah, I want to hear you, Adam, first, since you're the newest, the big daddy.
Yeah, new member.
The excuse to leave anything early.
I remember that. I remember when I first realized that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't. I mean, that's partially true. Actually, probably the coolest thing, and I think I was actually just kind of meditating on this the other day, that's neat, that I find myself analyzing or questioning any of my behaviors or choices that I make about how will my son view me. I just never had that before. Like, and I kind of have a zero fucks attitude. You guys kind of know my personality. That's how I am with a lot of things, because it's always been me who I'm responsible for. And if I fuck something up or I do something stupid or I piss somebody off, then I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? That's mm-hmm. that's kind of my personality. But that's changed a little bit now, because it's not just me that I'm affecting anymore. I don't care if I lose a friend because of some bullshit I said, or I don't care if I piss somebody off. But now I care how my son sees me behave, or sees the choices that I make. And so I like that, though. It's created this new filter for me that I've never had before. I don't think I'm changing, and I'm not my still true authentic self. I still think I'm very much so who I am, but I do catch myself, before I say some things or before I make a decision to do something, I go like, if my son, and I know he's young right now, so he doesn't really know anything yet, but it's already got me thinking in those terms that, well, what would I think if my son saw me quit doing that? Like, if I stopped doing that, would he think, oh, his dad's a quitter or something like that? Or, he's going to think his dad's an asshole if he said something like that. Like, so that's a new thing that I didn't have before. And I like it. I think it's good for me. I think it's another layer that I have to peel back. And I think that's really, really cool.
I think that's why some people are afraid of being a parent, because that's a big ass challenge.
Yeah.
You guys know the Dr. Seuss quote that talks about that. It's to the world, you may be one person, but to one person, you may be the world.
Right.
Very powerful quote and super true.
Greatest philosopher of all time.
Isn't he?
I 100% think he's the greatest philosopher of all time.
Oh, dude, I realized that as an adult.
Yeah.
Amazing words from Dr. Seuss, but yeah. I remember when that hit me as a father. It's like you're trying, you honestly want to be a better person.
Yeah.
You honestly want to be a better person because you care so much about someone else. And the thing for me that is my favorite part about being a father was it, and this is going to sound hokey, but it's so true. It completely redefined and expanded almost limitless my capacity for love. I didn't realize that it could grow anymore. I come from a very good, close family. I love my family, my parents, my brothers and my sisters and my cousins a lot. I love my friends a lot. I love my friends very actively. You guys know this. I'll hug you guys or tell you guys how I feel about you guys. I'm that kind of a person. I did not know that there was another level. You know what I mean? I couldn't have imagined because I just thought, well, I love these people so much. How can there be another level? And then I had my kids. And I remember when I had my son, I was just like, this is just insane. If I think about it, I'll get emotional. So sometimes I can't even think about it. And then when I knew I was going to have another kid, I thought, how am I going to love this other kid? I love this one that I have so much. What if I don't love this other one?
I remember going through that.
Remember that? Like, what if I don't love this other one? Like,
yeah.
I love. And then my daughter was born, and it wasn't that it didn't take love away from anyone. It just grew my capacity.
Yeah,
it's really, really crazy feeling.
Yeah, it's funny. We were in the car actually when Courtney was pregnant with my youngest, and like in the back seat, my oldest started singing a song, like, you know, in his little angelic little voice, and we were just like, oh my God, we just like melted, you know. It's like, I don't know if we can love this other one, you know, like it's gonna take a lot of work on his part. But yeah, for me it was I think it, obviously you guys nailed it, that I mean, I totally agree with those two things, but also I just enjoy that I can sort of relive that childlike innocence, like just to be able to kind of bring me back into that space. Like, I think most adults, they'd never, and you know, it's unfortunate that it's hard to describe, because like it's an opportunity that anybody as an adult can pursue, but it's more natural because now you have a younger kid that now you're reliving a lot of these like really magical things through. Like, it changed Christmas again for me, you know, like I was pretty much like, you know, Christmas gifts, you know, this, that, like, here's a gift card, blah, you know, like that was where I was at. Yeah. And then now it's like, no, you know, like there's magic there. There's ways to, you know, bring that childlike excitement out again. So that's like totally cool.
Yeah, it's. I can't wait till. I don't know if this has happened to you yet, Justin. I'm sure it has. Your kids, your oldest has probably done this, but where your kids will call you out, and when your kids call you out, it's fucking. It's so funny. Like I remember when my son that did this to me. He was, I don't know, 6 maybe. Yeah, I think it was like 6 years old. And we were late, and I was driving somewhere, and I said, you know, shit, or something like that. And he goes, oh, he goes, you said a bad word. And I'm still irritated, right? Because we're late. And so I'm like, you know, fucking little kid telling me bad word. So he's in the back seat or whatever. And I'm like, listen, I said, you're right. It's a bad word, but I'm an adult, and adults can say bad words. And I'm like, boom, there, I made my point. I'm driving. And he's thinking. It takes about a minute. And he goes, yeah. He goes, you're right, but you shouldn't say bad words around kids. Okay. Yeah.
Mic drop.
Yeah,
boom.
You got me on that one, buddy. And it, you know what? It humbles you, because then you have to, because you know what it is? You know when you're doing that with an adult, you just want to tell the adult, fuck off, I'm right.
Yeah.
But when it's your kid, you're like, this is it. Okay, he's right, and I got to let him know that it's okay that I'm wrong sometimes. Yeah. So I told him, you're right. You're absolutely right. I shouldn't say bad words.
My son did that to me when I was drinking a soda, you know? And I'm just like, no, you already had soda. I'm like, you're drinking soda. Why can't I have a soda? I'm like, you're right. Totally hypocritical here.
Yeah, it's the greatest. And then, you know, nothing will make you feel more vulnerable. And I did not realize this until I had kids. When I didn't have kids, looking back, I realized just how invulnerable I was. Like, when you don't have kids, you don't have a fucking weakness. Nobody can really fuck with you. Nothing can happen that really scares you, really. You might think you're scared, but ain't shit until you have kids. And now you're like, you are vulnerable. Like, your heart is out there. And that sounds scary, but vulnerability is what makes you stronger. It's what makes you a better person. It's what makes you brave. I actually had this conversation with both my kids not that long ago, where I was trying to explain bravery to them. I know why. It's there was a situation. I don't want to go into details with it because she may listen to this one day and get mad at me. But there was a situation where my daughter was feeling afraid, and I told her to go and do the thing and be brave. And then she was criticizing herself because other people do it without a problem, and they're so brave because they're not afraid. And I told her, I said, my son was there, so he overheard this, and I said, bravery is not being fearless. And I said, let me give you an example. I said, Superman is a superhero that has no weaknesses. Besides kryptonite, he's basically invulnerable. When Superman runs into a fiery building, he's not being brave. He knows there's nothing can hurt him. There's no problem with him. The person that runs into the fiery building, like the firefighter,
that could die,
that person is brave. And so I told her, I said, the fact that you're so scared and that you're doing it anyway is what makes you brave. And that's the vulnerability you have with kids. It shows you your vulnerability, and you do shit anyway, and then you realize that you're stronger than you ever thought you would. So with that, go to mindpumpfree.com and download our guides. They're all absolutely free. You can also find all of us on Instagram. You can find me at MindPumpSal, Justin at MindPumpJustin, and Adam at MindPumpAdam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at MindPumpMedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.